live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, clean-ups are continuing in South Donegal this evening after homes and businesses were affected by significant overnight flooding. There's concern in hotels and guest houses in Donegal over tourism performance this year and the challenges facing the sector in the year ahead. There are calls on the design team at Donegal County Council to carry out an audit of all junctions between the Manor and Bridge End roundabout as a matter of urgency. And police in Omagh are appealing for witnesses following an assault on a vulnerable man on Wednesday afternoon. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15, followed by Nuacht with Colm Ferrisher. But first in news, Donegal County Council is currently providing housing assistance and support to households in the south of the county who have been affected by overnight flooding. Storm Lorenzo caused significant damage to homes and businesses in Donegal Town and surrounding areas, with the Fire Service, the Road Service and Donegal Civil Defence deployed to provide assistance. There was a risk of high tides hitting the area again earlier today. However, Director of Economic Development and Emergency Services at Donegal County Council, Gary Martin, says the worst has now passed.
We passed high tide at 10:30 this morning here in Donegal Town, and thankfully we've been able to get over that without any further damage beyond that which happened actually in the earlier hours of this morning, Catherine. So we've passed, I suppose, the risk element now, and all of our resources are basically now in recovery mode.
I'm sure a major clean-up operation will ensue now that the worst is over.
There is, Catherine. Yeah, look, I mean, the householders themselves, look, I'd like to acknowledge and I suppose thank everyone who has helped us here locally here this morning and assisting, as they always do in events such as this. So the people themselves, the householders themselves, have obviously defended their own homes and dealt with any issues presenting there locally. The fire services, I suppose, have dealt with, I suppose, the excess water that's happened on the ground here. The civil defence have dealt with the sandbagging. And our own housing services as well at the moment are actually just checking with people who may have been affected as a result of the flooding to see if anyone needs any temporary housing.
So very much a joint effort, but concluding that we are out of the worst of it now.
We are indeed. I suppose, look, there is a heightened river level in the River Esk and its tributaries here in the south of the county at the minute. We'll be monitoring that, obviously, over the next day or so just to ensure that we can pass the next high tide without there being any further risk. But at the moment, we seem to have passed by the worst of it, yeah.
Meanwhile, a clean-up operation is continuing at Kilcar football pitch after the overnight flooding caused considerable damage to the grounds. The pitch, dressing rooms and clubhouse are all said to have been affected. Manager John Carr says the club hasn't suffered such a major incident like this in a long time.
The training pitch, dressing rooms, club rooms and the main playing pitch were completely covered in water this morning. Put the water in places. Just the usual warnings of the high sea and the threat of heavy rains. But I think both were kind of more than what would be normal kind of thing.
I don't have
the high tides were extremely, extremely high, and of course with the force of the hurricane behind it. And then the heavy rains caused the water from the river not to get away, kind of thing. So it just came in over our barriers that were protecting the pitches. We go back, I think, to the mid to late 90s, I think, was the last major flooding. But after that, we did increase the barriers around the pitches and that, and we've had no further problems until last night, unfortunately.
UK government documents claim Boris Johnson will ask for a delay to Brexit if he hasn't got a deal with Brussels by the 19th of this month. The papers presented to Scotland's highest court appear to contradict the British Prime Minister's repeated pledges to leave by the end of October, come what may. Speaking in Copenhagen, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says he would be in favour of pushing back the deadline, but would prefer a deal this month.
It's not abundantly clear to us that there's any agreement that will secure a majority in the House of Commons, but we have to work towards that, and we're willing to do so.
Meanwhile, there's concern in hotels and guest houses in Donegal over tourism performance this year and the challenges facing this sector, including Brexit and increasing costs of doing business. A recent national survey from the Irish Hotels Federation has revealed that 57% of hotels have seen a fall in overall business levels compared to this time last year, while 33% reported an increase. In Donegal, the sector supports 7,500 jobs and contributes some €249 million to the local economy annually. IHF Donegal branch chair Paul Divers says businesses are now at a crossroads as Brexit edges ever the more closer.
There was a survey done over the last couple of weeks and sentiment was a lot lower this year than it was at the same time last year. The big concern just, you know, about, you know, what's ahead with Brexit, the effect the VAT rate increase has had on hotels and just the general uncertainty. But I think hotels here in Donegal are being hit much worse because of our proximity to Northern Ireland and indeed our reliance on the northern market.
And indeed, there are a number of factors stacking up against this sector, so it's ultimately time for the government to step up and assist.
Yeah, you know, the move raising the VAT rate from 9% to 13.5% last year was an absolutely disastrous move and couldn't have come at a worse time with the whole uncertainty of Brexit. You know, hotels and restaurants throughout Donegal said at the time that it was a disastrous move. It was going to put business to the wall. And now we're saying to the government that, you know, what these people have been saying is actually happening. And, you know, small restaurants, hotels, they're under serious pressure here in Donegal. And we need the government to do something about it before it's too late.
There are calls on the design team at Donegal County Council to carry out an audit of all junctions between the Manor and Bridgend roundabout as a matter of urgency. It follows claims that some major junctions on the route are not properly marked and therefore not clearly visible to motorists. Local councillor Paul Canning says there seems to be a policy in place whereby road markings are removed and there is an unwillingness to provide proper junction boxes. He's warning that the vast number of black spots along the road is leaving it treacherous.
A lot of work has been done between the Manor roundabout and the Bridgend roundabout and so far as replacing pavement. But the actual lines, the white line and the yellow lines, they tend to become, as the man said, that they're widened out and they're using up the hard shoulder and they're making the carriageway bigger. But also whenever they do the road, they remove arrows that point people in the direction of going down a county road or turning off at a regional road. Now, there is a lot of very, very busy junctions on that road, and there's a lot of traffic on that road. The junction at the Galdner Road, that definitely needs a box junction there with a middle lane to allow traffic to turn in. There's other smaller county roads where arrows were on the road about 5-10 years ago, but they seem to have disappeared. And I would ask in the council that they send the road design team out to do an audit on these junctions at the busy times to see the movement of the traffic, because there will be a serious accident on that road. But it's also an area that has a lot of agricultural activity on it, and you have people that are passing out a slow moving tractor, but they are actually turning off to go across the road, and the car behind it then is unaware of that, and it ends up rear-ending that car. Simple things like that there needs arrows on the road just to show the people that there is a junction here and not to be passing out.
Fianna Fáil's finance spokesperson says budget negotiations starting late this year has made the process difficult. The uncertainty of Brexit has caused issues with planning for Pascal Donoghue's announcement on Tuesday. The party say there isn't as much spending power as they were expecting and insisted it's the last of the confidence and supply agreement. Deputy Michael McGrath says there are more consequences if it doesn't pass.
It's definitely later than it has been before. Look, that makes it difficult from our point of view. We acknowledge it is a different budget. It's definitely more delayed than it has been in the past, but hopefully we'll get there. And look, it's certainly our objective. We're not trying to issue any threats or red lines. We know the importance for Ireland of getting through this budget. The consequence, let's be clear about it, is a general election, probably in early November.
Works to replace ageing water mains in Inishowen have begun. The works being carried out by Irish Water in partnership with Donegal County Council are expected to last for around 9 weeks in the Three Trees, Quigley's Point and Cabri areas. Sean O'Regan has more.
Works have commenced and are said to be progressing well. It's expected that the initial section of pipe installation and temporary reinstatement works to Quigley's Point will last for approximately 9 weeks, with works from Quigley's Point towards Redcastle to follow on from this for around 8 weeks. Areas of work will be limited to short sections to minimise impact on customers. The works may involve some short-term water shutoffs, and the project team will ensure that customers are given a minimum of 48 hours notice prior to any planned water shutoffs. Traffic management will be in place during this time. Local and emergency traffic will be maintained at all times. Irish Water says that it understands this type of work can be inconvenient, and work crews will make every effort to minimise any disruption these necessary works may cause. The contractor will be monitoring traffic build-up during peak times in the morning and evening, and will switch to a manned stop-go control should there be an unacceptable build-up of traffic.
Police in Omagh are appealing for witnesses following an assault on a vulnerable man in the forecourt of a business on the Dromore Road on Wednesday afternoon. At around 20 past 2, a 35-year-old man suffered minor injuries after being assaulted by another man who is described as having a southern accent, dark brown hair, was wearing dark clothing and was driving a white Ford Transit. Constable Holmes says it was a very traumatising experience for the victim. Anyone who may have witnessed the assault is asked to contact police in Omagh. There are fears a new marking system for the junior cycle will not prepare young people for society. 65,000 pupils across the country received their junior cert results today, over 2,300 of them in Donegal. 4,000 students failed higher level history, one of the highest failure rates in any subject. Kieran Roach teaches the subject at the Institute of Education in Dublin. He says it's vital pupils understand a certain level before third level.
They won't even have grades at A, B, C, and whatever they will go to. You'll have higher merit distinction, whatever. There'll be no fails. Basically, you'll have something called did not achieve. I understand that from one point of view, but it's certainly not going to make students resilient. And certainly, if you have a responsibility for shaping our students for society, they have to be made resilient somewhere. But they're not going to be made resilient with that kind of system.
Serious concern has been raised over lack of progress on accessing funding for special life jackets for fishermen in Donegal. The life jackets are fitted with an emergency beacon operating when somebody falls overboard by sending out a signal alerting the Coast Guard to their location. The technology has been described as life-saving, and it had been hoped that a motion brought forward over a year ago by the Caherlough of the Inishowen Municipal District would pave the way for the pilot project to proceed. However, Councillor Marshall McDermott says nothing has happened since, and that's disappointing.
Being living and myself coming from a very coastal part of the community in Glengaird, where we've had our fair share of boating tragedies over the years, it is something that's close to my heart, and it's something that I will keep pushing until there's something done within the county to get those life jackets, especially available for not just the fishermen, but for leisure craft and for people that's going out to sea. And on top of that, Catherine, it's very, very important that we do some kind of a promotion that make people aware of how important it is to have a life jacket with an e-pair bonnet.
Do you think the council have suggested that local groups do what they can to apply for the necessary funding for these life jackets? Do you think that they're kind of passing the buck here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have BAM, Boreas Gawara, who do a type of life jacket, something similar to what I'm talking about. But they are sort of tied into the fishermen, and it's tied into what the fishermen do. I think this should be done on a bigger scale within a county like ours. It should be a pilot scheme within Donegal that doesn't just get the fishermen, it gets the leisure people, the people that's going out for a run on the boat, let it be on a Saturday, let it be on a Sunday, so that everyone can be part of this. And if we can do that as a local authority, I think it's easier for the local authority to get access to the people that's going out on a regular basis than it is for the likes of BAM, which is based in Dublin.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past 5 and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer. Big games for Finn Harps and Derry City tonight in the SSE Air Trusty League Premier Division. With a look ahead, here's Daniel Brennan.
A victory for Harps will move them 9 points clear of UCD and will all but secure a relegation playoff place, and will all but confirm UCD's relegation. But if UCD win, the gap will close to just 3 points. There will be full match commentary this evening from Finn Park from 7:50 on Highland Radio with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle. Speaking on Highland's new Thursday evening show, The Score, Harps manager Ollie Horgan is not writing off UCD.
On their day are excellent. I watched them a month ago against Pats up in Belfield in the Cup. They won 3-1. They played a week later in a league game in Inchicore where they should have won it and drew nil all. And we've a poor record against them. They've beaten us already twice this year. They beat us twice last year, all beaten the first division. And you know, we know basically that if we don't perform on Friday night, we'll get nothing out of it.
Derry City's chase for a Europa League spot in the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division continues tonight, with just 4 games to go in the season. Derry currently occupy 3rd position and are away to champions Dundalk. 4th place Bohemians are 1 point behind Derry as they welcome Cork City to Daly Mount tonight. And 5th place St Pat's need a win at home against Waterford to keep their hopes alive. Derry manager Declan Devine says that any game against Dundalk is tough, no matter the circumstances.
We're also in a good position ourselves. We're going down to the game knowing that we want to stay in 3rd place. We want to try and win our last 4 games. We want to make sure that we qualify for Europe as a minimum of a reward for the players in terms of the effort that they've put on this year. But we're all under no illusions going to Dundalk at any stage. Whether they've won the league, whether they've won the cup, whether they're in the cup final or not, it's going to be a really difficult task.
And there's one other game tonight as FAI Cup finalist Shamrock Rovers take on Sligo Rovers.
Daniel Brennan with a look at the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division action for tonight. There's also games in the Irish League Premiership this evening, 3 to take place. There's an interesting tie in one of those as Leaders Crusaders host last year's champions Linfield. And among the games tomorrow, second going into the weekend, Coleraine are away at Carrick Rangers, and Institute, who are second from bottom, are looking for what would be their second one of the campaign. They are taking on Ballymena United tomorrow. Back to the action tonight, FAI Intermediate Interleague Tournament in Dublin. The Ulster Senior League are taking on Connacht to start the action. West Manstown in Dublin is the venue, starts at 7:45. There's matches to come against Munster and Leinster. Gavin Cullen is on the Ulster management, and he's hopeful that his side can get off to a good start tonight.
These tournaments, when you go on them, you're not sure what other leagues have and who they've got available and stuff, so like, you can't write off Connacht. Now, usually they've been the team that struggled in the tournaments, you know. Any tournaments I've been involved in, it was always ourselves, Leinster, Munster, would have won the tournament. So, but you can't write them off. First game, they'll be going on, and if they can get a one themselves, they'll think they'll have a chance. So you take nothing for granted with it.
Cross channel, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola has confirmed Kevin De Bruyne will miss this weekend's Premier League match against Wolves. The midfielder has a groin injury, though he's expected to be fit after the international break. In Gaelic games, it's down to 4 in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship on Sunday. It's a semi-final doubleheader at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. St Union's meet Neve Connell at 1:30, and then at 3:30, defending champions Gwydor will battle with 2017 winners Kilcar. Glenty's man Martin Doherty feels if Kilcar get running the ball, they will punish the holders of the Dr. Maguire.
It's a matter of whether Kilcar can get their running game going, Tom, you know. I mean, once they get the right man on the ball, they get Ryan on the ball and transferring to Mark, to Kieran McGinley. You know, once you get it to the men that can hurt teams like Andrew McLean and Owen McHugh, and Conor Doherty has been exceptional so far, they've got pace all over the pitch. And whether Gwydor allow them, which I doubt if they'll get the free run of the place, but I still think they'll have enough pace all over, and probably cuteness as well. Kilcar will be well tuned into how Gwydor play and everything, and I think the physical battle which Gwydor will want to such, and they'll want to kind of hurt them physically to kind of, you know, to get their scores as such. But I just think Kilcar will be too tuned in for them. They'll get the quick kick out and get the right men on the ball. If they get Michael Higgerty on, probably you know, maybe by half time or the like of that, he'll settle things and he'll get the right ball inside. You know, even the likes of Kieran McGinley coming from midfield, scored 3 super points the last day against Kelly Beggs late on. I mean, he's still playing exceptional as well, but I just think the pace of Kilcar will be the one enough of the day.
And of course, live coverage from both of those matches on Sunday will be live as from 1:15 for the big doubleheader in Ballybuffet. Other championship games here in Donegal this weekend. Our draw played Dunloe and Mallintagon, 4 Masters in the relegation senior playoffs tomorrow. The Intermediate Football Championship semi-finals tomorrow evening both start at 5 in Killybegs and Glenfinn. It's Neve Breed against St Noel's and Éirua against Clohanilly. The relegation playoff involves Neve Ulton against Burt's. There's a double doubleheader in Letterkenny for the Junior Football Championship semi-finals as Buncrana play Convoy and Letterkenny Gaels take on Declan Boners Narossa tomorrow. In Derry, the Junior Football Finals on tomorrow at Celtic Park starts at 2, Drumtick on Glack. The Senior semi-finals this weekend, tomorrow evening at 6:30, it's Banagher against Mahra Felt, and then on Sunday evening Sloughnane will play Glen. There's also intermediate last four games with Four Glen up against Castle Dawson and Drum Cern against Clare on Saturday and Sunday. Titles will be won in Tyrone on Sunday. The Junior Football Final will see Kildress against Rock, while the Intermediate Final is Galbally against Pomeroy. A doubleheader in Oma. The action gets underway there on Sunday at 2. In boxing, Derry fighter Tyrone McCullough will fight Razak Najib at the York Hall in London, England this evening. The winner will move to the semi-finals of the Golden Contract Tournament. We're up for grabs is a 2-year, 5-fight deal with MTK. 8 fighters are battling for that prize. Christina Desmond pulled off a big shock today and is through to the last 16 of the welterweight division at the Women's World Boxing Championships. The Cork fighter won in points against England's Commonwealth champion Sandy Ryan in Russia. South Africa have moved to the top of Pool B at the Rugby World Cup. The Springboks ran in 7 tries as they eased to a 49-3 win over Italy earlier today. Conor O'Shea's Azzurri dropped down to 2nd place in the pool. Meanwhile, in the Pro 14, Bill Johnston will play his first game for Ulster tomorrow. The former Munster out half will join John Cooney and the halfbacks for the game at the Cheetahs. Locally, the All-Ireland League Division 2C action starts tomorrow with the first round of games. City of Derry are at home as they entertain Bruff at Judges Road, while Oma are on the road and they go to Clonmel. Among the other ties in Ulster Championship 3 tomorrow, Letterkenny also on the road as they visit Newry. On the motorsport front, we're coming to the end of day 1 in the Wales Rally GB and the WRC. County Tyrone's Chris Mee continues to lead at the head of the field. His advantage has now been shortened to just 1.5 of a second. Sebastian Ogier in the Citroen sits second behind the Toyota of Meek. Terry Newville is in third. That is after 8 stages. LYAT Donegal are looking to make a back-to-back wins in Division 1 of the National Basketball League. Their second game of the season is tomorrow afternoon, starting at 4 against Father Matthews of Cork. The venue is the LYAT in Letterkenny. Athletic-wise this weekend, there's cross-country taking place in Ahearn and County Tyrone for the Donegal Masters, and it's also the Donegal Underage Even Age Cross Country Championships as well. Another busy weekend ahead, and the action of course starts tonight with Harps against UCD live here in Highland as from 7:50pm. Join Jeremy Doherty and former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle for full match commentary tonight. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. For weather now, cloudy with some light rain or drizzle in places for a time, but dry in parts, also with a few clear spells. Tonight will be dry in many areas and winds will be light southeasterly with lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal County Council is currently providing housing assistance and support to households in the south of the county who have been affected by overnight flooding. Storm Lorenzo caused significant damage to homes and businesses in Donegal Town and surrounding areas, with the Fire Service, the Road Service and Donegal Civil Defence deployed to provide assistance. Meanwhile, a clean-up operation is continuing at Kilcare football pitch after the overnight flooding caused considerable damage to the grounds. The pitch, dressing rooms and clubhouse are all set to have been affected. There's concern in hotels and guest houses in Donegal over tourism performance this year and the challenges facing the sector, including Brexit and increasing costs of doing business. A recent national survey from the Irish Hotels Federation has revealed that 57% of hotels have seen a fall in overall business levels compared to this time last year. And there are calls on the design team at Donegal County Council to carry out an audit of all junctions between the Manor and Bridgend roundabout as a matter of urgency. It follows claims that some major junctions on the route are not properly marked and therefore not clearly visible to motorists. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nuked with Colm Ferriter, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
G'day. Shebra Mahasa Colin Ferretter and Shalon, the Preve Scalty Air Highland Radio. Fogreeter and you go well, Jontus, the Hodge, Shakehead, Augusta Orto, Mila Euro, Caddyhead, the Glordening Yale, Con Fondurat, Joseph McDonagh, Augustin Skim, Changa, Chi, Arbert, Eskim, Takiacta, the Hodge, Glordening Yale, Augusta Hodge, Common Lucla Scale, E. Fondurat, Joseph McDonagh, the Clubana, a Curran and Gilliga Conkin, Curran and Fondurat, Jontus or Foyle, the Common Clarihe, Anirian Lo, Mage Arihe, Grivioti, a Curry Igriac, Brunter Ahantas, a Club on a Comai, as Grivia, a Umpri and a Mach, a Dave Najangahe, Marcora Ja, Ober Takolienta Aku. Be an agriot fasiocta mishna ectact lecaida da grenu bliantul mehel mishna in Arclan Gidor in Yelter Chir Connell, Eger an artel lad jeg, ogus a fihu de lad in Visha, scrupin yav politiocta e mishna atamar aim aku fibina, ecnamiocta, ogus socialta, ag ta eg wanchers and the Geltrata a Ledu. Ractalher and Kelluru Nask Dunanal, Guji and Sheo Led and Jerry Foher, Togra Co Ebriha ata on a Cruhi and Jeshina Ura, Don Conde, Fridge Nasku, Lishan Diaspora, As Chirconnell ata Harlar, Non Shah and Yerin, August a Yenin Changwa Ladini, Lihia de Spragu, Concourge, Horch, Ergunanal, Big Hardlan, Ers and Ellen, Mark Hodge, the Nask Dunanal, on Tronona Amara, Con Inyuku, a Yenu, and New Aliakta, Erin Ellen, August Snadoyani, ata Aku, Lishan Tohi, Erin Ellen, a Hossench, Fridge Farbert, San Arnold Technoliakta. August Tashi Fogri Erhiv Udras Nigelta Goel Farberch Legenif Erin Grayson Mol Digita Nualiach Conboru Akar Le Infrastructure Technoliacta Cantor Geltakta Stagaolus Finch Gameshin Eg Udras Bunkai E. August the Fogrich Janta Erhiv Forest Nigelaget Goel Comortus Bio Yavilis and Ejeg Eglaku Lehiratis Dun a Comortus Chol Bliantul Guji and Catru Lad Jeg Dun V Shaw.
The obituary notices for this Friday evening, October the 4th. The death has taken place of Annie Mullen, Nae McCluskey, 43, Glen Ellie View, Plumbridge, and formerly of 8, Ahibarach Road, Plumbridge, remains reposing at her home. Fiona leaving her home on Sunday morning at 20:11 for Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahibarach, at 11:30, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place in Greenock, Scotland, of Bridget Rutherford, formerly of Muff. Her remains are reposing at Murphy's Funeral Home, Tubin Burnfoot, with viewing tomorrow afternoon from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and on Sunday afternoon from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Funeral leaving there on Monday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Muff, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Sean McCauley, Cullion Dunlow, remains reposing at McGlynn's Funeral Home Dunlow with rosary at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow from 12 noon with private removal at 6:30 to his home. Funeral Mass on Sunday at 12 noon in St Cronus Church Dunlow with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. High strictly private please and also on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Padraig O'Grady, late of Rahini East, Lahey, and formerly of Ballinacarrow, County Sligo. Padraig's remains are reposing at the family home at Rahini East, Lahey. Funeral from the family home tomorrow afternoon at 2:20 for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Donegal Town. Interment afterwards in St Agatha's Churchyard, Clare. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Robert Peebles, Gortnesky, Kilmacrennan. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Letcher Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only placed. Donations if desired to Surgical 2 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital and the Irish Wheelchair Association, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors or any family member. And the death has occurred of Michael Heaney, Dunwiley Stranorler and formerly Heaney's Bar and Restaurant Bally Buffet. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorler at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Donations and lay of flowers please if so desired to the Oncology Ward, Beacon Hospital, Sandyford, Dublin, care of any family member. The house is private at the request of the deceased.